My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of Lizardy. My fellow Americans, how we doing today? Happy Monday. My name is Jimmy Selesky. You are watching live from the studio, The Daily Edition. It's tax day, baby. It's tax day. You better get it in. It's April 15th. Don't be lacking on your taxes. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But first, we have a lot to get into today. We appear to be on the verge. And I'm not kidding when I say this. I genuinely feel this. We appear to be on the verge of a world war. Iran, over the weekend, has just bombed Israel directly. This is the first time that Iran has directly attacked Israel as a target. And it was not unprovoked, so we're going to talk a little bit about that whole situation. You know how much I love talking about that. Oh boy, oh boy. Nothing just gets me going like the Israel-Palestine debacle. That is the entirety of the Middle East. Please, for the love of God, figure it out. In response to that, we, of course, have annoying people. This is the technical term. Annoying people blocking the Golden Gate Bridge. This is, of course, how we're going to prevent World War III. Ask a person from San Francisco or Oakland, and that's what they'll tell you. So we'll take a look at that, see what the most annoying type of white people are up to today, because that's who it is, of course, in case you thought it was actual, you know, Palestinians or anything like that. Nope. Just white people on bicycles and masks. Yeah, and I want to also take a look at some comments from over the weekend. The Friday show seemed to stoke a lot of conversation. I believe that video has as many comments as it does views. That's an impressive record. It would be even more impressive if it had an impressive amount of views. But, you know, I don't care. A ratio is a ratio, baby. So there's a couple comments you guys left on there that I wanted to address on this lovely Monday. But first, before all that, once again, folks, it is tax day. Aren't you excited? Aren't you excited that after a nice year of rising costs of living, price of doing everything, going deeper and deeper into credit card debt, and of course I'm speaking for myself, but I believe I speak for most Americans when I say all of this, that I am somehow making the same amount of money on paper and more broke than I've ever been. And what else could you possibly want after a year of that? Then paying the government more money. That's right. If you are a self-employed person or someone who doesn't get W-2'd as an employee, this is usually the time of year where you owe money. Now, idiots and other assorted dumb people associate tax day with like getting money from the government. Now, I understand most people intuitively understand that that is your own money that you have overpaid to the government over the course of a year, and then you get some back. So every time you get that check, they have already withheld a certain amount of money from it. And wouldn't you know, it's usually more than they should. And then once a year, every year, you get a nice check for maybe a couple hundred dollars or whatever back of money that you should have had the whole time. And you go out and spend it on stupid shit. That's what tax season is to you. And we'll talk about that. But if you're me and other people who are 1099, this is usually a time where you realize you did not pay nearly enough in estimated taxes over the course of the year, if at all. And you're about to get fucked again. Oh no, we're fucked again. It's a thirsty cast. So I was doing my taxes and stuff, and I took a look, and I saw my initial expenses were I was going to have to pay the state of Maryland like over $1,000. And then I was going to have to pay the country of the United States of America, the federal taxes, like $2,700. And that's after I've already paid like over $1,000 in estimated taxes over the year. So that kind of did not sit well with me. And I decided to call in the big guns. All expenses, please report for duty. Did I buy a pair of shoes that I often wear to gigs? Oh, yes, that's a business expense. How many miles did I drive in the name of business on my Nissan Altima, you ask? Uncle Sam? All of them. Everything I do is my business and not yours. Oh, yes, of course my home is used in part as a home office, and I will write off a portion of my rent and utilities as such. Now, the thing is, everything I just described to you is legal and fair. I did spend that money. I do use those office spaces in my apartment when I live there, and of course, this studio, which I pay a monthly rent for. So it's not illegal, but it does feel like cheating, and this is a Stockholm syndrome of our country. Is the U.S. government and the state of Maryland want my money that I earned. And then every year, once a year, I have to sit down and explain to them why they shouldn't take all of it. And then I feel like I'm being sneaky when I say, well, you know, actually I do, you know, spend like hours a day in my little office at my apartment doing things that are very, very relevant to my business, sending emails, typing up contracts and invoices, posting my schedule, editing videos, promotion clips, things like that. I mean, I would say more than 50% of the job of being a professional musician is, of course, getting the jobs. Showing up and playing music is the easy part. Any homeless guy with a guitar can show up and play music. It's getting the gigs, folks. That's the work, in case the government's listening. So yes, that is a major part of my day and a major part of my job and therefore a major part of my business expenses. So I will be writing that off. And I managed to get my payments down pretty significantly. I think I only owe like another $700-something now in federal taxes and nothing to the state of Maryland. I ain't giving you guys shit. What have you done for me lately, Maryland? I paid you a couple parking tickets this year. I did jury duty. I've done my part, okay? I'm broke as shit. And that's cool. Now, interestingly enough, if you don't pay estimated taxes over the course of a year, if you're self-employed, not only do you pay a penalty fee for the fact that the poor U.S. government had to be out your $2,000 for an entire year. Oh. You also have to pay interest on that. So they go, well, turns out you owed us $2,000 over the course of this year, which should have been like $500 every 3 months, every quarter. And we're going to have to charge you interest for the fact that we didn't get to have that this whole time. And you just paid us all in one lump sum at the end. So not only do you pay a penalty fine for making us be out $2,000, us, the poor government, clearly need that $2,000 more than you, the self-employed guy. But we're charging interest. Now, what I find very intriguing about that process is it doesn't work the other way around. Now, as I mentioned earlier, if you're a W-2 employee, they withhold money from your paycheck every week for taxes, Social Security, all of the above. You may notice that when you get that money back, whatever portion you didn't wind up actually owing them over the course of the year, you may be surprised to hear that you do not get to charge the U.S. government interest on the fact that they were holding on to $1,000 of your dollars for the past year. So the U.S. government gets to have $1,000 of your money, hypothetically in this example, maybe more, maybe way more. I'm just using $1,000 to keep it simple. It could be $10,000, $50,000, who knows? Let's just say 8,000, though, since we're talking numbers in my ballpark, you know? They could hold on to that for the entire year, and then at the end, they tally up your earnings, and they go, oh, snap, my bad, dude. We withheld $1,000 too much of your money. Here you go. No penalty fine for them. And I get that. Am I charge the government a fine? No. But interest, maybe. I think there's an argument for that. If you can charge me interest for not having my money for a whole year until I give it to you, then why should I not be able to charge you interest for holding my money for a year that didn't actually wind up belonging to you in the long run? That's actually more akin to how a loan works. Hey, U.S. government, here's $1,000 of my money that you took over the course of a year that actually wasn't owed to you. I'm going to need some interest payment on that. Doesn't work that way. Amazing, right? Truly amazing. But, you know, that's it. I decided to wear my... I was going to wear my Pac-Man shirt today. It's fun, but... I decided to wear my brown Cornerstone Remodeling shirt to kind of capture that blue-collar man vibe. So just in case the IRS is watching, which would be awesome, truly awesome, I'm conveying a blue-collar vibe. This would make them less suspicious that I'm cheating them out of money, which I'm not doing. I promise. I cheat myself out of money every day that I wake up, okay? I have nothing left to cheat you out of, Joe Biden. I'm bone dry, but we're working on that, and things are looking up. I'll tell you what's not looking up, folks. Besides the fact that it is tax day, Thirsty Cast. Sheesh. It is also, as I mentioned earlier, apparently, and appearing, I should say, it's appearing to get pretty, we've reached the point of, I would venture to say that we may be reaching the point of no return in regards to this situation in the Middle East, particularly in Israel. I want to show you a video. This is some footage of the bomb strikes on Israel from last night. So let's take a peep at this.
We begin with the Middle East.
So where, those are told you, ba-bombs.
Iran yesterday launched an air attack on Israel. We get the latest from Imtiaz Tayyab in Tel Aviv.
Bombs.
The sound.
Can we pretend that airplanes in the night sky like shooting stars?
Weapons were intercepted over Israel.
So, like, all of these are getting shot down, which is like nuts. The Iron Dome is like.
Says it was targeted by more than 200
wild.
Drones, crews, and ballistic missiles.
So far, we have intercepted and are continuing to
intercept. You haven't intercepted shit, dude. Shut up. All right. So before we listen to Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari, the Rear Admiral, I bet. That was bombs coming. Now, I can be rather, I guess, lighthearted about this because very few of those missiles actually reached anything in Israel, really. I think there was only one person injured, according to Ben Shapiro, okay, who is becoming increasingly more intolerable and unbearable to listen to because his show is, at this point, I think very legitimately, on average, 60% Israel. This is an American conservative doing an American political news show. And more than half of his show is Israel. And then the other 40%, 35%, one third on a daily basis is everything else. So the Ben Shapiro show, as of the past few months, has evolved into 2/3 Israel, 1/3 every other issue in the world, including our country. So I'm beginning to take his opinions on these issues with more and more of a grain of salt. I'm almost on the border of 2 grains of salt when it comes to his opinions. I think there was apparent, but he says there was a girl, a little Arab girl, actually, that was injured, not killed, and I think, from my understanding, she should be okay, hopefully, obviously. But so the bombings themselves, I think were aimed at like Israel's, you know, fighter jets and things like that, weapons arsenals. They weren't, I believe, aimed at like civilians or people in general. But very few of them actually managed to reach the target. Israel, along with, you know, United States, other allies in the EU and Jordan and things like that, were shooting these missiles down left and right. It is crazy to think about. Yeah, I guess I kind of didn't know how to picture missiles. I imagine like it's like the guy across the street just shoots a rocket at me. I'm like, how do I defend that? How do I parry that off? Miss me. Catch it with my teeth. You thought. No. I didn't quite understand that these rockets are getting shot from like thousands of miles away. Like I think some of these rockets apparently travel like 2,000 miles per hour. But coming from Iran, which I'll show you a map of the Middle East, which I know none of you want to admit that you probably need to see, much like myself earlier. I was like, I know what the Middle East looks like. Come on. Of course I know where Lebanon. Come on, Kuwait. Kuwait, uphold a minute. Y'all thought I was finished? Of course I know where Kuwait is. You think you know where stuff is. I thought I knew where stuff is. But I got to be honest, sometimes I need to check in on a map every now and then. So we'll take a look at the map. So these things I'm saying make any sense at all. But Iran is like pretty far away. It's like 2,000 miles away or like 1,000. I think it's like 1,000 miles away or something from Israel. So even at 2,000 miles per hour coming from Iran, these rockets are still taking 30 minutes traveling over Iraq, over Jordan, into their targets in Israel, which gives the Iron Dome. Iron Dome. Great name. time to react. And react it did. Now, again, this was not unprovoked, which is important to recognize. Let's take a look at this map here. So Jesus. All right. So, you know, here we're looking at a map of the Middle East. Just for context, here's the countries you know and care about. You know, Greece, Italy, you got France, Ireland, United Kingdom, England, Spain. Also, while we're here, let's just take a point of note. People that think that Spanish people are not white while insisting that Greeks and Italians are. Here's your opportunity before we venture into the war in the Middle East to absorb the fact that Spain and Italy and Greece are all equally south. Spanish people are white. Spanish is a white language, regardless of how many descendants of Mayans and Aztecs and Incans in Latin America speak Spanish today. People need to remember that. I'm not really making any point there. It just boggles my mind how many people don't recognize Spain and Spanish as European. It's European, dude. They're like neighbors with France and England. Anyway, back to where we apparently need to be visiting. So here's your vacation spots. Italy, Greece, this is where you want to go on vacation. And then right about here, you're saying, no, thanks. I think I'm good. I think I'll chill in the Greek islands. Oh my God, now we're in fucking Israel. Great. So here's Israel. This is, you know, Northern Africa here. This is Egypt. You got your Libya. It's Northern Africa. Let me zoom out so you can see the whole deal. There's Europe, Northern Africa, and the Middle East. Everyone's favorite region of the world, the Middle East. There we are. And if you zoom in here, you will see the country of the hour, Israel. Now you have Jordan here. And over here, you have Iraq. And all the way over here is Iran. So Iran, from their capital in Tehran, right there, shot rockets over Iraq, over Jordan, into Israel. Do you hear what I hear? A star, a rocket in the sky. And here's Lebanon, you got Syria, so the whole thing. Now, there's Damascus. See that? That's the capital of Syria or something. Israel earlier, I feel like a sorority girl explaining like drama right now. I feel like Olivia Rodrigo. I feel like an Olivia Rodrigo song. It's like, so yeah, so basically, like, Israel was like, fuck you. And then Iran was like, no, I'm totally shooting rockets at them. And Israel's like, what the fuck? I can't believe you just shot rockets. It's like totally crossing the line. And Iran was like, well, you did it first, bitch. That's that is a way of describing it a little bit. But yeah, so Israel kind of, look, here's the deal. Apparently, Israel has not directly claimed responsibility for what I'm about to tell you. But on April 1st, April Fool's Day, so maybe they did it as a joke, I don't know. But on April 1st, Israel allegedly bombed the Iranian consulate in Syria, in Damascus, the capital of Syria. And it wound up killing several Iranian generals. I think like double digits, like in the tens of senior Iranian military officials and diplomatic officials. So it was not technically a direct attack on Iranian soil, but it was an attack on an Iranian consulate in another country. That I guess you could say this would be the equivalent of if Israel bombed like a U.S. embassy in wherever. Pick a country, doesn't matter. But like Iran considered this and tantamount to an attack on Iranian soil. And so they responded as such by launching an airstrike into Israel, directly into Israel over the weekend, last night. Now, here's the thing, and here's why I think it's almost unavoidable, this idea that we are on the verge of a world war. This Israel-Iranian conflict, I don't claim to be an expert on this Middle East stuff. I claim to be a guy who really, really just wishes they would figure it the fuck out. The Jews and the Muslims, please, for the love of Allah and shh, can't say God and Jewish. For the love of Allah and Yahweh or whatever, get it together. Because we're all about to have to get involved. And this has been going on, well, in the case of you guys, like literally since the dawn of humanity. But it's been affecting my life as long as I can remember in one way or another. And particularly lately. It's really been a thorn in all of our sides. Now, it's been mostly a proxy war. Iran and Israel used to be allies back in the 70s. They were boys on paper. Then this new regime took over, super kind of like, you know, theocratic regime, very, you know, theocratic Muslim, whatever terminology you want to use. And they really, really don't like Israel. And I'm sure Israel really, really does not like them. And Iran has been funding groups. I got to hold up 1 second. Let me unclear my throat. Because I'm gonna have to need some phlegm for all these here. They've been funding Hezbollah, Hamas, the Houthis, every other terrorist group in the region. You know, Hezbollah being in Lebanon. Bear with me as I pretend to have known this before 20 minutes ago. Hezbollah, of course, being in Lebanon, the Houthis being a powerful force in Yemen, and Hamas, of course, the most popular of them, not the most powerful, but the ones closest to home in Palestine, in Gaza and all that. Iran has been heavily funding these groups against Israel, arming them, whatever. And much like every proxy war, there have been no direct attacks between the two countries themselves. Think the Ukraine-Russia war, another proxy war. The United States, as far as I know, has not directly put boots on the ground, active fighting military troops against the Russian troops. No, but we're supplying Ukraine with aid, weaponry, whatever else they need, because they share a common enemy with us, which is Russia. Now, the problem with these proxy wars is if you recall your world history and go back to World War I, that's the First World War, kind of like a series of dominoes, these kind of entangled conflicts between smaller countries, smaller groups, wind up roping everyone in. It was like this web of weird, tangled up alliances where, okay, this country got into it with this other country, which means that, well, we have a treaty with this country that says that if this country gets attacked, then we have to stand by them. And then also this other country has an agreement with that country that says if they're in a conflict, they have to stand by them. So now they're obligated to back up this country, and all these other countries are obligated to back up this country. And then they have their own alliances, which say if anybody... So then it's just like all the, like, 7 degrees of separation, and now like every country in the world winds up at war with every country in the world, give or take. And then it kind of just, you know, the sequel, World War II, a little bit different, but the same. The roster's changed ever so slightly. But this is what we're kind of watching now, is it not? It's kind of interesting to put yourself in the shoes of the people who existed during the time of World War I and World War II leading up to it. You know, Hitler was on Time magazine as the man of the year in like 1935 or something. I doubt that they figured that he was going to do what he did in the next couple years. It is insane to think how much things can change at the drop of a hat. You know, COVID is probably the best example of our lifetime of how massively your entire life and the entire world can change, and things that used to be completely normal are now crazy, and things that used to seem crazy are now normal, and all the above. And it's not because we have that experience with that so recently, I feel like it should be easier to entertain what I'm discussing now, which is, I don't think that, I think people have this idea that like leading up to World War I, everyone knew it was about to be World War I, or that leading up to World War II, everyone knew it was about to, maybe some people were calling it out, obviously at a certain point people catch on, but you know, for the most part, it's not a war until it's a war, you know, and there's usually this one like thing. It's like that Big Sean saying, it takes a long time to happen overnight. Now, of course, he's talking about success and fame or whatever. But that kind of goes for everything. It takes a long time to happen overnight. You know, when you see somebody blow up famous out of nowhere, usually it's new to you. It's not new to the reality, which is that they've been grinding and grinding and grinding and put in the work, and then finally, boom, they blow up seemingly overnight due to the snowball effect. Well, similar with global conflicts, it's like it's these little things consistently that have undeniably been happening that build up and build up and build up, and then boom, it's World War III. We've been talking about World War III, and I'm not trying to be an alarmist here, but I just think objectively speaking, you'd have to be kind of like willfully oblivious at this point to not see the pattern, see the writing on the wall, that if this trajectory continues, that is where we end up. You know, you compile everything I'm discussing, and then you just, even just the inner strife of Western countries like the United States of America with the election coming up, and who the hell knows what's going to happen with that? I mean, this is no small thing, this election coming up, and America is divided. We're in dark times right now as a country. We really are. People are struggling economically. You know, everything that's going on just in our country. You look at the European Union, same type of deal. So you have the internal strife of the Western countries. Then you have what's going on, you know, first, and it's all a bunch of proxy wars. You know, look, the United States and the United Nations are, you know, proxy funding Ukraine in this conflict against Russia, which is a superpower rival of us, of ours. And, you know, Russia and China are, you know, people say they're not really on the same team. They're more on the same team than, like, we're on their team. If they had to pick, like, if the two team captains were, you know, left, like, picking gym basketball, China's picking Russia before they pick us, you know? Like, so, yeah, look, you don't have to be besties, you know? China's not buying Russia a birthday present this year. China's not posting Russia on Instagram. Oh my God, I love this bitch. No, that's not what we're talking about. But the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And when push comes to shove, those countries, I believe, and many people would agree with me, hopefully, that those countries would be on the same team. And they're also involved with Iran. And we're obviously by proxy backing Israel. And now these two countries are... So these two countries, those two countries in a proxy war. Now that proxy war of, you know, Iran funding rebel terrorist groups around Israel and Israel doing their own thing to Iran. But now they're directly attacking each other. For one reason or another, regardless of who you side with. Well, now, this is the makings of a real war now. It's no longer like, you know, paying some dudes to go shoot dudes that they're paying. It's like, no, you just bombed our consulate. We just bombed you. We hear about bombings all the time. We're almost numb to it. Imagine if instead of Israel, we were saying, I don't know, Philadelphia. Now, I don't know why a foreign power would bomb Philadelphia. Philadelphia is doing a pretty decent job of destroying themselves without any outside help. But if a country were so ill-calculated to decide Philadelphia is the place we need to attack to really strike at the core of America, and they launched bombs at them, bombs flying over Philadelphia, bombs over Baghdad, flying over. And now the U.S. military is shooting down bombs. You're in Philly. Oh, no, bro. They're shooting bombs at us, bro. That's fucked up, dude. You're sitting there hoping maybe just one gets through. Come on. I'm just kidding. That's not nothing. It's more than not nothing. They're shooting bombs, okay? That is an act of war. if nothing, I mean, what else is it? So these two, now Israel has a choice. And I think we all know what choice Israel's going to make, given their past track record over the past few months of choices that they made in response to retaliation. Now, I don't want to get into everything in the details of that nitty-gritty thing. I don't know all that much about it. I don't care all that much about it with Israel and the Palestinians and all that stuff. I try to stay uninvolved because it doesn't involve me, and I don't feel like I'm helping the situation by speaking on it. But we have world superpowers on Iran's side, quote unquote. We have world superpowers on Israel's side. At this same time, you guys may have forgotten what I've talked about it a couple times already in this episode. We also have an ongoing conflict, an ongoing proxy war with Russia via Ukraine, where the entire West, the United Nations, the United States, all them guys are funding and backing Ukraine, and Russia is doing their own thing against them. So now we have Russia versus Ukraine, who we're backing. We have Russia, who's on the same team as Iran, who is now against Israel, who we're backing. We have China, who plays game with Iran. And I don't know what else you want. I don't know what else you need in this equation to start thinking, wow, we're not that many more steps away from an all-out global war. These things only stay proxy for so long. And the stops are already getting pulled. Israel and Iran, as far as I'm concerned, may have just taken off the gloves. I don't know how else you could possibly perceive firing bombs 2,000 miles over two countries into another country directly at their weapons bases and whatnot. So that's what we're talking about here. You know, we've become so numb to it because the world has been nothing but news stories like this for the past 8 years. And again, more icing on the cake of what I'm trying to say, which is it's a trajectory. We have become used to a consistent escalation. With every passing year, tensions get worse, not better, in our own country, in the global relations of countries. And it's only a matter of time until that critical mass is reached. So I'm not pitching a solution here. I'm just a dude in a garage trying to get out of paying my taxes, for Christ's sake. I don't have the answers for you. But again, I'm just giving you things to think about. I'm trying to lay down what I believe to be a fairly sensible perspective. So take that for what you will. Now, of course, in response to this, the most annoying people you know, maybe not you know, if you live in Oakland, then yes, the most annoying people you know. But, you know, if you just exist in American society, then you know what I'm talking about. Once again, 20-something-year-old white people, oh my God, are blocking the Golden Gate Bridge. Let's take a look at what that looks like. So this is a kind of a, this is just shows you the full scope of it. It's going to zoom out, helicopter view, I think, or a drone, whatever. It's silent video. So for you audio listeners, you're not going to hear anything except for me telling you you're not hearing anything, which is actually very ironic if you think about it. So look at that. I mean, look at that. That whole bridge, all the way backed up, blocked off. Wow. That bridge looks beautiful, though, by the way. It's like iconic. I can see why it's iconic. But that's what you're dealing with there. And we'll get a closer up angle here so you can see more of the culprits. Who is at fault for this? Who is doing this? You guessed it.
Continuing coverage of now
stop the world for Gaza
blocked completely by people who say they are because of
end the siege of Gaza now. Dove bird
here in the Bay Area. In fact, there's one right there taking a selfie, perhaps even taking a selfie.
Hey guys, I'm out here right now. We are fighting for peace of Gaza.
And now hundreds of cars in
two
areas.
So that's them, the revolutionaries. We all remember the great revolutionaries of the past. Standing in bridges and going on Instagram Live and saying, yeah, we're here for the revolution, man. Make sure you follow us. Give us a like. Support the cause. Fight for justice. No justice, no peace. That kind of thing. So that's what's going on. I will talk about this, obviously. I just want to get one more view just in case you have not quite gathered my contempt. So this is a different angle of a different squad of the best among us.
To get to the 880. What is with the, what is, you get into the port down
what is
the road,
with the bikes?
And basically
don't any of you fucking losers
off,
have cars?
A number of trucks come
just
by,
bikes and you're
and
wearing helmets?
Want to make a right here to
how
get on the
fucking nerdy can you be?
Got to keep going.
And then you got
on
the sign. What does that say? Intifada. There's only one solution.
So this
Intifada. Revolution. I don't know what intifada means. Sounds like a delicious Mexican dessert. I'm not sure if that's the solution, though, although I would enjoy it right now. But again, what's with the bikes, guys? I mean, I'm sorry. I don't know if I want to be taking foreign policy advice from somebody. I mean, look, if there's one of you guys who doesn't have a car, great. But when all of you guys haven't managed to figure out how to get a car, maybe you should work on that. Also, wearing a helmet while biking, the only thing worse you can do than that is wear a mask ever in 2024. And you're doing all three. And not only are you doing that, because that's a personal decision. Look, you want to only have a bike. You want to wear a helmet while riding your bike so your mom doesn't get mad at you at the age of 23. You want to wear a mask outside so you can let everyone else know that you are also an insufferable person. You can do that. I'm not going to take that away from you. Go ahead. Knock yourself out. But the bridge blocking thing, and I'm serious about this. I know we kid a lot on this show. But I'm serious about this. That did we not just see what can happen on America's bridges? And I'm serious. I'm right here in Baltimore, Maryland, home of the Key Bridge, or home of what used to be the Key Bridge, the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Global news 2 weeks ago collapses via a ship crashing into it. Now, I'm not saying that a ship is going to crash into the Golden Gate Bridge. But I'm just saying, we've seen the kind of things that can happen on bridges. Why a bridge? Why are we blocking the bridge? Why are we holding up traffic suspended thousands of feet in the air? Many people who go over bridges are not big fans of going over bridges. There may be people in that traffic. You saw how long that line was backed up, okay? There may be people in there who are having absolute panic attacks, stuck on that bridge. They can't go forward. They can't get sideways. They can't go backwards. They are stuck on that bridge, suspended thousands of feet in the air. Maybe having panic attacks. Maybe, you know, how do you go to the bathroom? What if you're an elderly person? If you have a heart attack, if it's too hot, can emergency vehicles reach you? No. Is that bridge designed to have multiple hours of full capacity traffic on it? Maybe. Hopefully. I don't know. The point is, why the bridge? Why are we... What is with this? This is not how you're supposed to do it. It's unsafe. And you're not achieving anything. You're not accomplishing anything other than pissing everyone off. If I was stuck in traffic on the Golden Gate Bridge today, I could be the most pro-Palestine dude you've ever met. My middle name could be Hezbollah, Jimmy Hezbollahsky. But if Jimmy Hezbollahsky is sitting on the bridge for 4 hours, can't make it to work, can't make it to the gym, can't make it back home to see my hypothetical made-up fake girlfriend, can't do the show. And that's just me. I'm not even entertaining people who might have medical emergencies or whatever. You have made me less supportive of your cause. It's not, and anyone who is truly in good faith about these types of things understands that and would figure out a different method of demonstration to express your views. But the key takeaway here, folks, is that's not the goal of these things. There's a reason why you may have noticed that every single person in that crowd that we looked at that I could see is a completely unaffected, liberal, brainwashed, mask-wearing, bike-riding, college/post-college kid living in San Francisco or Oakland. White kid. LARPing. LARPing revolution. LARPing for peace. It's fashion to them. They haven't sat and considered if this is an actual effective means of doing anything. I don't even think they've actually considered if it's even for doing anything. It's not even about doing anything. It's about them. It's always about them. They're going to be on the front page. They all have their hands painted red. The blood is on your hands, Israel. And they're Instagram live. Yeah, we're out here fighting for peace. That's right. I'm so sick and tired of this world, man. I'm 21 and I've figured it out. And I don't know how they haven't. I'm just so glad I was born 20 years ago because this world has been here for like a billion years, and nobody's seen it figured out yet, but luckily I have. And so we're going to block the Golden Gate Bridge, and yeah, make sure you subscribe. That's what it is. I remember seeing this when I was in high school. The Westboro Baptist Church came to Towson University, and I went to Towson High School, just north, just outside of Baltimore in Baltimore County. I went to Towson High School, a couple blocks away from Towson University. And the Westboro Baptist Church, this would have been back, I was maybe a junior, so this would have been maybe like 2009, 2008 time period. And the Westboro Baptist Church, they were that was like the real famous like group, like the that like small group of like family church or whatever that was like God hates fags and whatever, and they would wear the signs and the stuff. It was really big, popular, talked about group back in those days. And they were visiting, and I remember on one side of the street, on York Road, for those of you familiar with what I'm talking about, there was five people dressed up with signs all around just saying the stupidest shit imaginable. God hates fags. Black people are gay. Sluts for our abort, like just the craziest shit. Obviously just sitting there just thinking of the most outlandish shit to write that was going to piss people off. And across the street was about 4,000 people on the front lawn of Towson University campus with their own signs for peace.
You got hate has no home here. God doesn't hate fags. God loves fags. I mean, gay people. Black people aren't gay. Unless they are, maybe. But that's not the point. Peace, love.
And our school, our high school, sanctioned. Like, they were like, make sure, you know, there's a big thing happened right after school, conveniently. So we all got out, and on the announcement before we got out, if you guys are going to go to the protest, just make sure you're peaceful and blah, blah, blah. But they wanted us to go out there and express our views. Go out there and show those guys. Go show them that they don't belong here. And I went because I was 15, 16 years old. I wanted to see what it was all about. It was a national news story. Let me go check it out. And I walk across the street. And I immediately was overcome with this sensation. That holy shit. What if we all just went home right now? That would be the most effective display of saying what you're saying here has no home here. Your hate has no home here. Nobody agrees with you. You're clowns. You're jokes. What would be more embarrassing than the fact that they drove all the way across the country with their big stupid signs and stood on a corner in Towson, Maryland, and just no one gave a shit? The news didn't cover it. Students carried on about their day, went up and day drank at Rec Room. Nobody gave a shit. But no, we gave them exactly what they wanted. We all stood outside. Fuck you! You're the worst! I can't believe that you don't think you're the worst! They know they're the worst. This is what they want. And you're giving it to them. Why? Because this is what you want. You want to be a part of something. You're making this about you just as much as they're making it about them. And I was lucky enough to experience this and see the hypocrisy. Not on their side, because that's obvious. They're not even being hypocritical. They're just being provocateurs. They're just out there stoking up, you know, whatever, anger and getting people to react. That's their whole thing. But the hypocrisy of the people opposing it. They were there because it was the thing to do. Remember we talked about the eclipse last week? It was the thing to do. And everybody for one day was a fucking, you know, astrologer, astronomer, understood the workings of the sun and the moon. And yeah, actually, it actually happens like every 6 months. And I didn't just read this last night. Actually, I've always known this is something. I've been looking forward to this eclipse easily for the past, oh man, probably since the last one, which I mean, like, wow. But no, I definitely didn't just learn about this when all my friends started talking about it. No, I'm super into it. And like, I'm totally going. Same thing with the freaking protests. Oh, are you going to the Golden Gate thing? Yeah, I think my friends are all gonna they're all gonna get their bikes and bike over there. Well, first they gotta make sure the mask fits and buckle up their helmets real tight, and then we're all gonna bike over the Golden Gate Bridge. And like, yeah, are you bringing anything? Yeah, I think my run friend's probably gonna be like a blanket. We're probably just gonna like chill and like, you know, like maybe like mix some drinks and just like kind of chill, but like fight for Gaza, you know? That's what it is. It's embarrassing. It's stupid and it's gay. And in the case of blocking the Golden Gate Bridge, it's dangerous. Okay, I just spent the entire first half of this podcast talking about the fact that we are on the way to World War III. And I have some terrible news for anybody that was at that stupid, infantile, childish protest at the Golden Gate Bridge today. You're not helping. You achieved nothing. If anything, you've only made matters worse. And I have another unfortunate realization, which is that that's not really what you're concerned about. What you're concerned about is that you were there. So congratulations, you've accomplished that at least, while the rest of the adults in the room sit here and think about reality, which is that this shit is real. And while you may be unaffected at the moment and pretending to be affected because you want so desperately to be affected by anything, there may come a time very soon, in the very near future, where you will get what you wished for. And I'm over here, and I'd like to think along with most sensible people, saying, I sure hope that doesn't turn out to be true. So, with that said, let's take a brief look, as promised, at some of the comments from over the weekend. This was in reference to my most recent Friday show. Fake Friday, CIA agent exposes deep state secrets. My hair was really stupid on this episode. Can we admit that? I'm surprised nobody called me out on that. I can't even watch it. I can only watch my videos when I look hot. I can't watch this. Lots of comments. Some of our day ones. My original day one. My mom is up in here saying, good for you. Hitting the gym and chugging the water. Mom, you're going to love this episode. Because not only did I definitely hit the gym today, but I chugged a lot of water. So that's why you're here. You've come to the right place. Some not as day one, but still day ones. Budgie and Trevor Job, right up there with my mom, just below. Budgie also says he had curry for lunch. Good choice, Budge. You know the Budge was thirsty, Avro. I know, dude. I'm telling you, man. It's something about all that. He also says, don't mean to toot your horn, bud, but Jimmy is the beast at analogies. Hell yeah, baby! I'm not gonna lie. I've always thought analogies were one of my strong suits. I wouldn't say I'm a beast at analogies, but it's just the way that I learn. I can only learn by comparing to something else. I was only able to understand electricity via comparing it to water flow, and I was like, oh, so the resistance is like the width of the pipe, and the amps is like how much water is flowing. It's like all that stuff. Like, I need to understand things in context of things that I understand. Maybe that's super common. That probably is super common, but that's why I tend to express my points in analogies as well. Because it's the way that I came to those points. And then I'm just doing that in reverse when I explain it to other people. Now, on a more serious tip, Trevor Job, another day one. Trevor Job 91, 81. I'm still assuming it's Trevor. It could be Trebor, which would be rad and scary. But I'm going to assume it's Trevor. Because I think we've been calling him Trevor for at least a year now, and he hasn't seemed to have a problem with it. So we'll stick with that. He has two comments here. The first one in reference to the video itself, which again, this was a video of a CIA contractor on what he thought was just a gay date. Not a date that was gay, but like two gay men on a date. There is a difference. I've been on plenty of gay dates with chicks where... we just had a gay time. Never talked again. But this is a real live gay date with two men. And he's, you know, just spilling the beans. Go back and watch the episode. It was a good app. We kind of run through the whole thing. Exposes, reveals a bunch of stuff about January 6th, Alex Jones, and how the CIA and FBI kind of get involved in, you know, court cases and lawsuits to try to, suck out money from people that they don't like and whatever, FBI, feds in the crowds at rallies and all kinds of stuff. And he's just like saying it over like some crab dip at dinner and a cocktail, as they do. But Trevor says, dude, so proud of you for seeing the truth in this gay date. Guy obviously had no real problem, had no real position in the federal government and was a glorified secretary. I'm glad you could see through the bullshit. I was holding off on watching this show because when you teased it, I was worried you believed this leak. Uh-oh. This is what puts your show/podcast, thanks for this distinction, in the upper echelon. Hell yeah. If the FBI was worth all the money, you think they could track down the January 6th pipe bomber or January 5th pipe bomber. The person they tracked down getting in onto the subway and getting into a car that they pulled the license plate on and tracked down the owner's address. But somehow the person was never questioned. I stand for investigation. They are a complete failure. It just seems too convenient for a contract worker to have any information that is news to anyone else. He seemed to be so open to talking about things everyone is already aware of, and he was so open to keep sharing. Grindr journalism is boring. I like that, Grindr journalism. The name is not boring. I like that. But perhaps the act itself is boring. And I feel bad for the unnamed guy who had to swallow loads for a nothing burger. I'd like to believe he got out of that without anything compromising. Kyle Serafin has a great breakdown of this interview. He also has a great Daily Show, and I think you'd like Jimmy. I don't like anyone else at the Daily Show. Fuck Kyle Serafin. I'm just kidding. I'll definitely check that out. I listen to both of you every day at work. I hope Eric lets you use his washer and dryer once a week. Keep up the great content, man. Glad to see you're still staying positive and doing well. I'm definitely staying positive against all odds, according to everyone that knows me, who just assumes that Miss Moon, my friend Scott's mom, I rent out the studio. She, in the driveway the other day, she's like, "Are you okay? You're not like depressed or anything, are you?" I was like, "Yeah, I'm fine. Do I look depressed?" Then I had like the neighbor guy who like rents out the other side. He saw I was living here. He was like, "Hey, man, if you like need some work or like if you want to, you know, I have a room in the basement. I could put you to work 2 times." I was like, "Dude, everybody relax. Relax. I'm fine." I mean, obviously, yeah, I'm fucking depressed. I'm obviously very depressed, in a very depressed state in my life. This goes without saying. But you know what? Who's not fucking depressed? All right? I'm an adult. I'm 31 years old. I'm putting out 6 days a week of content, playing music gigs, recording, and the whole nine. I don't have time to be fucking depressed. All right? I'll be depressed until I'm not, and then I'll be fucking fine. And in the meantime, the couch is pretty comfortable. But that's not the point of that, really. Also, the laundromat, I have a friend down there now. We made friends. His name's Tom. We're good. I love the laundromat. I actually can't wait to do laundry again at that laundromat. I agree with what you're saying here, Trevor, about the this leak, quote-unquote, being overhyped. I would say this to you, though. I was going to try to make a pun of your name, Trepidation. You're coming from a perspective where the knowledge of the things that he's talking about on this video are things you already know. You're based. I can tell. You follow along with these things. You get the picture. Your whatever pill color is the color that describes what I'm saying. I don't know the pills anymore. Red pilled is like you're like based Republican. Black pilled is like, what is black pilled again? You use the term black, but I always forget what that one means. But regardless, you get what's going on. And to you, you understand, you know, that everything in this video is the obvious reality. But I think the importance of things like this and why I took the time to put it on the show on Friday is that always be aware that not everyone knows what you know. Sometimes it's almost safer to assume that they don't know than to assume that they do. And there are many people in my life that if I were to suggest that the Alex Jones lawsuits were targeted, were encouraged by the CIA or the FBI, that, you know, he wasn't doing anything criminal, that it was an entire just method to destabilize him financially and all the above, and that there were feds at January 6th, that this was an orchestrated thing, planned escalation to try to delegitimize the Trump movement and everything like that. I said many people, I would say maybe most people in my life outside of my family and my more based friends, which are not that many compared to my non-based friends, they would not accept that as the reality. They would, no, there weren't feds in the crowd. No, it was entirely organic. It was an insurrection. You know, it was the worst day in American history since 9/11. It was an absolute travesty. It's horrible what happened. Whenever I think about January 6th, it almost brings a tear to my eye. It was just so horrible. And Alex Jones is a horrible, terrible person telling people to go piss on the graves of the Sandy Hook children and go, you know, harass the parents and blah, 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 blah. And he, you know, there's so many people that genuinely believe that. And so things like this, videos like this, while they may not be eye-opening or advance the narrative for you, I would suggest that for someone, let's call them the normies, at risk of sounding like a pretentious douche, but, you know, to put it in a colloquial term we all understand, the NPCs maybe, this is a good video for them to see. I don't personally think that this video itself was fake, that this was like a guy pretending to be a guy saying things, or like that this guy secretly knew was like giving away. I think this is a real capture of a real conversation over several interactions where this guy gives away. Again, I even say in that video on Friday, I say that like what happens is once you get used to doing something, you see, so I use the example of like drinking with a beer in your, or driving with a beer in your cup holder, and you do it, you get in the habit of it enough, you're not necessarily driving drunk at all. You're just sipping a beer while driving and it's whatever. You don't even think about it. But if you get in the habit of doing that, at a certain point you forget it's illegal. And the next thing you know, you're at a red light, you grab a beer, take a sip of it, and there's a cop next to you, and then you're screwed. And so that's usually how those things happen. The same way you see all these mayors in these major cities, you know, Catherine Pugh, and basically, I mean, name any mayor in the past five mayors of Baltimore City, and you have a great list of examples. But they are so used to that level of corruption and just like insider dealings that they don't even know. They get caught. Fannie Willis gets caught. Fawny, whatever her name is, gets caught doing all this stuff. And she is literally dumbfounded. She didn't even know she couldn't do that. It's like that Chappelle skit. Sorry, officer. I didn't know I couldn't do that, because that's been her entire experience in politics and everything she's done. She feels entitled to that money. She doesn't, like, she's offended that you just accused her of corruption because she's that far removed from how corrupt it is. And I think that's also an aspect to consider when you're talking about this video, Trevor, is this guy, while he may not be in a high position of actual authority within the CIA to have been dictating these things, he is, I would assume, or I would argue, I guess, or that he is on some level of position in that company to at least be abreast of the goings on. And what he is saying on this video is just the run-of-the-mill, seemingly normal reality to him. And that's why he's so casual talking about it, because while to the average person, this is a revelation to find that, yes, the feds obviously had people planted at January 6th, and they obviously are targeting Alex Jones, and you can infer that they're doing the same thing with Trump. And like, but that's obvious to him because he's there, regardless of whether or not he's the one making the decisions to do that. He just works there. It's like you work at a restaurant, you know what goes on in the kitchen. You know? It's just that simple. So there's another analogy for you, by the way. but I think that's what we're watching. And again, if you're already aware of this stuff, then perhaps this information is not compelling to you because you're like, yeah, duh, there's feds. Like, tell me something I don't know. Like, I'm waiting for the ball to drop completely where everyone knows. And it's like that And even as he says in the video again, that might never come, because even when that does happen, it'll come at a time when people stop caring. Or it'll come out that that was the case, and then the news won't talk about it, just like, you know, everyone has kind of tacitly accepted that obviously COVID leaked from, you know, a lab in China. And the way you know that is because they're not talking about it. And so the way we'll know that it's become a accepted truth that, you know, what he's discussing about Alex Jones and January 6th and all the above is true, it turned out to be true, is when you never hear about those things again. And so you never really truly get that vindication of being right. You never get that aha moment, gotcha moment. Just get used to never having those moments. You're just going to have to learn to find solace in when things wind up going your way in the long run, you'll know it was because you were right the whole time. And let everyone else think what they want to think, because thinking the way they think is what got us here in the first place. And thinking the way you think is what got you where you are. So, you know, just be appreciative of that, I guess. And but again, I think that's a good take. I think, you know, I obviously didn't want to take it too seriously because, and I don't even know if I necessarily did it on purpose. I think I just naturally just kind of took it as half joke, half serious, because, again, to me, this was not new information. And I guess for the majority of people that listen to this show, this is not new information. But again, just don't overlook the fact that it very much is to a lot of people. So you had another comment there. I'll touch upon that tomorrow, because we're running a little long today and we got a long week still ahead of us. Guys, happy Monday. Great time on the show today. Beautiful day here. It's been the beautiful past couple days. Show is Monday through Friday on the channel. We will have a podcast for you this weekend with me and Eric. We're going to line up a time to record this week. Sorry we missed this past weekend. But, you know, hey, Monday through Friday, we never miss. The podcasts, we do our best. LFTS podcast across the board. Folks, check us out. Give us a like. Subscribe so you see when we put out new content. That's the best way to make sure you're getting your daily dose. And outside of that, my name is Jimmy Selesky. Till next time, peace.